Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, with all the events of this week and last week, it seems like the historic meeting of President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu is old news. But really, ladies and gentlemen, nothing could be further from the truth. It seems like the ripple effects of this meeting continue, as does seemingly the unending rainstorms in California. Because we believe on Stand in the Gap Today that the news of the day really doesn't come alive until viewed through the lens of biblical prophecy, we're going to spend nearly the entire program today on Israel and major news occurring around and in there in that country, including, get this, including recent revelations about the sacred Ark of the Covenant itself. Yes, that's right, Ark of the Covenant itself. And to help us walk through a list of major news relative to that part of the world in Israel, we're going to invite in today Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, host of Prophecy Today, to help us as we go through that. And with that, I welcome you to the program, Stand in the Gap Today. It'll be myself, Sam Rohr, and Gary Dahl today. And we're going to, again, focus on these issues from a biblical and constitutional perspective. And with that, I welcome Gary, you, and Jim to the program today.
Well, Jim and I are delighted to be here, Sam. I wonder who that other person is, though. You said that you are going to be on. You, yourself, and Sam Rohr is going to be on. Who's the other person?
Is that what I said?
You know, I got to tell you, Gary, I was thinking the exact same thing. I knew that you and I were going to be on with him. That sounds like there's three more guys.
Yeah, I was waiting to hear.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was an unintentional statement. Believe me, it's just three of us. That's all there is, just three. But you get all of us for this program. All of us. Yeah. So guys, let me go right here, right off, as we get into this. They're going to focus on Israel and the Jewish people today on the program because, as we said before, Israel and the Jewish people are at the center of God's plan of redemption. And certainly the world's activities are really revolving increasingly around Israel. So it's appropriate, I think, that we go there, and we go there often, which is what we're going to do. And let me set it up this way. Right here in this country, it seems that in a general sense, and again around the world, that anti-Semitism is on the rise. A lot of articles coming out of Europe. And here, just in the United States, just 2 days ago happened, there was an account of over 200 gravestones that were vandalized in a Jewish cemetery in University City, Missouri. Now, here's just a couple of comments that I picked up from the news article. One, it said this: the police would not say if they considered the vandalism at Chesed Shel Emeth Cemetery to be a hate crime, although, it goes on, they say they believe there was organization behind the crime, meaning this was not the act of one individual. A local comment, a person that was there, said this, quote, "These are Holocaust survivors that are in here. They shouldn't have to endure any more trauma. Let them be settled." That was a Robin Rickerman, whose elders, including great aunts and uncles, are buried at the gravesite. Another, Golda Burke, said this, "I can't believe people would do that anywhere to anyone. It's just wrong." And she had grandparents who were buried on the other side of the vandalized site. Jimmy, let me go to you first. Anti-Semitism has been around the world for a long, long time. In a simple biblical terms, why is this? And do you sense, as you travel the world, that there is an increase, in fact, in anti-Semitism? And why is that happening?
Well, there's unprecedented rises in anti-Semitism, Sam. That has never been the case throughout history since World War II. We understand, of course, in Europe, with the rise of Hitler and his Nazi regime, that they went after and killed 6 million people who were guilty of one thing. They were Jewish. So we understand that terrible time of anti-Semitism. However, it kind of dropped off the charts for a while, but it is quickly coming back and is a major concern among the Jewish people. You talk about Europe. I mean, that is It's happening here in the United States, and I'm not denying that, but it's not going as fast as it is in Europe. And I think there's several reasons. Number one, the Islamic hatred for the Jewish people. Now, they're coming out of the Middle East. They're making their way through immigration into Europe. You're talking about Great Britain. You're talking about Germany. You're talking about France. You're talking about Greece. These are major European Union states that, and European states that have an influx of Muslims who are setting up so that they live under Sharia, which is the law of the Quran. They don't live by the laws of the land. They're endeavoring to try to do what they can to change the laws of the land to the Sharia, which would be the Islamic law. And that then is increasing and increasing their opportunities to be able to go and make anti-Semitic attacks. I mean, we almost read every day about that happening, that taking place, especially in France. The president got in trouble for making a statement about Sweden. Hello, pay attention, because within the 24-hour period of time after he made his comment and the news went after him, there was a major, major attack by the Islamic world in Sweden. So you can see evidence of the Islamic hatred that is spreading across the world. Now, their number one focus in their hatred has to be the Jewish people. And why is that, Bill? Number two, it's the Islamic eschatology. Their eschatology calls for wiping Jewish people off the face of the earth. They're non-Muslim. And people say, well, I thought that if you convert to the Islamic faith, you're okay. You don't have to worry about being killed. No, yes, that is the case, but there's no Jew that's going to convert. I mean, that is not even in the possibility of a Jew converting. And so because of the Jewish standard and the Islamic standard, they're coming together, and the eschatology is driving the Islamic world to get rid of the Jewish people. And then when you come to the Bible, you've got to remember there's going to be a satanic influence in the last days. I believe we're so close to the last days. The activities of Satan and all of his minions are in operation today. For example, just remember, and I understand this is talking about the tribulation period. I'm dealing with the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verses 7 to 17, where there's going to be an angelic fight in the heavenlies between Michael, the good angel, commander-in-chief of the good angels, and he's going to take Satan and all of the evil angels and throw them out of the heavens down into the earth. They rejoice in the heavens. They say, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. I'm just talking about prophecy, which is going to be fulfilled. It's an absolute. And having said that, then, when Satan and all the evil angels are thrown down to the earth, there's only one goal they're going to have, that is to wipe out the Jewish people. And the reason for that, if the satanic activities taking place in the tribulation period can rid the world of Jewish people, God will not be able to keep his promise to the Jews, so thus God fails Satan, now becomes the leader. And when you look at Daniel 10 and 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you see satanic influence in the government and in the church will be prevalent at that time.
Jimmy, great overview relative to what's happening and why there is an increase in anti-Semitism. Ladies and gentlemen, in the next segment, we're now going to go into some of the ramifications or the impacts, the ripple effects, you could say, that have come out of the Trump-Netanyahu press conference and changes in direction that are evidenced by this administration as compared to the last administration. We're going to talk about those ripple effects in the Middle East in the next segment.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful, full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold-embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
The citizens of America are, from this period, to be considered as actors on a most conspicuous theater, which seems to be designated by Providence for the display of human greatness and felicity. 1783, John Adams.
Your child deserves the best. Shouldn't that include an exceptional education? PA Leadership Charter School is a kindergarten through 12th grade online public school serving students across Pennsylvania. Voted number one cyber school in PA, PA Leadership Charter School provides a flexible but structured approach to education. Visit PALCS.org or call 1-877-725-2785 to learn more. That's PALCS.org. PA Leadership Charter School is training tomorrow's leaders today.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which established the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Ladies plan to attend the Montgomery County Republican Women's Leadership School on Saturday, March 4th from 9 to noon. Topics will include campaign strategy, planning, fundraising, and more. If you are a candidate, thinking about becoming a candidate, or interested in helping with a campaign, a political vendor, or a consultant, this event is for you. Past attendees have successfully won elections. The meeting will be held at Whitpain Township Building, 960 Wentz Road, Bluebell. For more information, contact Nancy Becker at 267-481-0569.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, in this segment, we're going to now go directly to the Middle East. We've talked about the overall opposition rise, you could say, in anti-Semitism increasing, and Dr. Jimmy DeYoung made that very clear why that is happening. But now we're going to go to really to the state of Israel itself, the nation of Israel. And just to help set this up, it was just recent days that President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu met in Washington, D.C. Really a stellar time of discussion, in my opinion. I watched the entire press conference, and I guess the one thing I marveled at was the complete turnaround, it appeared, between the anti-Israel stance of the former President Barack Obama and the very clear support level of the current president, President Trump. And just to help set this up and get us going for the balance of the program, Russ, I'd like you, if you could, just play this short clip for us, please.
Today I have the honor of welcoming my friend, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, to the White House. With this visit, the United States again reaffirms our unbreakable bond with our cherished ally, Israel. The partnership between our two countries, built on our shared values, has advanced the cause of human freedom, dignity, and peace. These are the building blocks of democracy. The state of Israel is a symbol to the world of resilience in the face of oppression. You can think of no other state that's gone through what they've gone, and of survival in the face of genocide. We will never forget what the Jewish people have endured. Your perseverance in the face of hostility, your open democracy in the face of violence, and your success in the face of tall odds is truly inspirational. The security challenges faced by Israel are enormous, including the threat of Iran's nuclear ambitions, which I've talked a lot about.
And I'm going to stop it right there, just because I think that establishes obviously a tone, a relationship between President Trump and Israel that is so totally different. Jimmy, let me start with you at this point and say, as one of the leading experts in Israel, biblical prophecy, and Middle East geopolitics, if there was an overriding outcome or impact, should I say, of that press conference and that meeting in D.C. between the Prime Minister and President Trump, what would you describe it to be?
Well, I'd have to say the optics, Sam. That was unbelievable. Just watching that press conference, I had the same reaction as you did and everybody else who've seen clips of that press conference or who were privileged to be able to see the entire press conference itself. And let me just mention the optics. Number one, you saw that the Jews were back in the land, and the Jews have a state. They have formed a state. They're one of the member states for 70 years almost now. They have been a state among the states of the world. And number three, they're world leaders. So it was an unbelievable testimony, but it was the optics that took everybody by surprise and helped everybody, including the enemies of Israel and the friends of Israel, to recognize how close the United States and Israel have been in the past for a period of time, not so, about an eight-year period of time, but now into the future. And I'm a preacher, so let me give you my 3 points and what I'm going to tell you. And, of course, I'll have to alliterate it. And that would be the atmosphere, the attitudes, and the agenda. Talking about the atmosphere, from the very outset, the news media was there, at least not doing fake news this time, but covering the arrival of the president of the United States and his dear wife meeting at the entrance to the White House, not the back door, when 8 years ago they were ushered in at the back door by President Obama with no press coverage. This time, the front door of the White House, President Trump and his wife, and then there's the Prime Minister and Sarah, his wife, they come in the front door. And then from that point on, it was evident that there was a warm relationship, joking back and forth, giving body signal, body language, that they were so comfortable with each other, and of course the statement that you just played. Now, the attitudes. And in fact, even when there was some type of a disapproval, I don't believe that both of these leaders agreed about everything on every issue that they discussed. But in public, as they stood there, I mean, I watched as Prime Minister Netanyahu took a double-took look at the president when the president said, I don't care, two states, one state, whatever you guys want. He looked around at him, and then when he said, he made the statement, he said, now, can you do me a favor? Hold back on those settlements. And the Prime Minister said, see, there's the art of the deal.
Art of the deal.
You know? And so that attitude between the two men was just amazing. And, of course, the agenda that they had when they got together for the serious talks, it had to be Iran number one, Palestinian peace process number two, the one- or two-state solution, and the settlement. So I think that agenda was key for the Jewish people to recognize what the president, and with Prime Minister Netanyahu just making a statement right to the cameras, he said, Donald Trump is the best friend that the state of Israel has in all of this world.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm ready for the poem, Jimmy. You gave your 3 points. Now I'd like to have the poem. So, but you know what? They just looked like two childhood buddies, didn't they, when they got together in that particular press conference. It was very, very refreshing to see that. And certainly the message of that press conference was heard by both the friends of Israel as well as the enemies of Israel and the United States of America. And my question to you, Jimmy, is what do you think is going to be the continued reaction to that press conference from the enemies of Israel and the United States, particularly from such people as Iran or Hamas or Hezbollah? How do you think that they are going to react to that press conference and the continued commitment that the United States has to Israel?
Well, let's just take the three you talked about, Gary. Number one, Iran. The world had to watch, and particularly the Iranian leadership, the U.S., Israel, is united on their understanding and relationship and focus on Iran. Number two, that the United States would support a preemptive strike should Israel have to take it against the Iranian and the development of their nuclear weapon of mass destruction. In fact, Vice President Pence made the statement in Europe that there would never be an Iranian nuke, and they would keep and protect Israel from that ever happening. Number three, the United States and Israel have joined together with the Arab Sunni world. I'm talking about Egypt. I'm talking about Saudi Arabia. I'm talking about Jordan. And they see the United States and Israel joining up with those guys to go against a nuclear-powered Iran. And they want Iran out of Syria and Iraq. So those are things out of that meeting at the White House coming out focused on Iran as it relates to Hamas. You know, Hamas wants no part of a peace effort. They want one state. They're okay with the one state, but it'll have to be called Palestine, not Israel.
Not Israel.
And, of course, they will not negotiate. They don't want to sit at any negotiating table. They're ready to fight against terrorism. And, you know, the president came out with the backing of the prime minister, and they made a statement, we're going after terrorism. We're going to shut down. I think that was a little bit overstatement. I don't believe that you can shut down Islamic terrorism. I mean, those 1.5 or 7 billion people in this world, there are enough dedicated. We're talking, if you only say 10%, we're talking about 170 million people who are totally dedicated to accomplishing the ultimate goal, the eschatological goals of the Islamic world. And then when you think about Hezbollah for a moment, Hezbollah is going to continue to build up their arsenal. Iran is building that arsenal, funding what they're doing. They're going to continue to fight alongside of Syria and Bashar Assad in Syria. They're going to be ready for a strike on Israel at any point in time. And they're going to do the work of Iran as it surrounds the Jewish state of Israel. And so I think that the meeting at the White House between the two world leaders, the president and the prime minister, gave an in-your-face approach to Iran, Hamas, and Hezbollah.
Jimmy, let me ask a quick follow-up, because what you're talking about is conflict, 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 because you're really talking about Islamic terror, which is all about conflict, conflict, conflict. But when it comes to a single state or a two-state solution, it seems to me that if we were trying to impose a one-state solution, meaning only Israel, or somebody else could impose a one-state solution, only Palestine, or to say it's got to be a two-state, either way, you're looking at some type of war.
Yes, you absolutely are, Sam. And by the way, when the president made that statement, two-state or one-state, whatever you guys want, I want to tell you the peace process was dead in the water. It's up actively running right now. The Israelis are talking about the peace process. They're now debating, do we want a one-state solution or a two-state solution? The Palestinians and the Muslim world are totally opposed to a one-state solution, unless it is, like Hamas says, okay, if it's called Palestine, that'll be okay with us. You're right, because the Palestinians have made the statement, we will go to the streets, there will be blood all across Israel if you try to get a one-state solution. The Israelis are a little bit concerned about it because of the demographics, because if you pull the two together under one state, I've got to tell you, childbearing is running rampant as far as the Palestinians. They would have a capability of outnumbering in a vote and voting out a Jewish state.
Well, this, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned with us, because we're going to continue on this theme of single state solution, and we're going to bring Iran into this and their commitment to chaos and how they connect chaos to how they view theologically their view of bringing in the Mahdi, because they are a key role in this, and war is right at the hand because of what they believe. So we're going to talk with Jimmy DeYoung when we come back on this topic.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. Flooding in San Jose, California appears to have leveled off, with the water still high, though, and at least 14,000 people forced from their homes, ordered to leave by firefighters going door to door.
We had an extended rain event over the last about 24, 36 hours or so. Anderson Reservoir is spilling, and the Coyote Creek has risen to a very high level.
Santa Clara County Fire Captain Bill Murphy, a few hundred people are staying in shelters. Water across U.S. 101 has shut that highway down. More for sale signs are coming down.
The National Association of Realtors says existing home sales rose in January to the highest level in nearly a decade. Sales of existing condos, co-ops, townhomes, and single-family homes increased more than 3%.
Fox's Ginny Cassola on Wall Street. The Dow is up 18 points. Fox News, we report, you decide.
WFYL. From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Perhaps the most moving moment at our Friends of the Family banquet last fall was hearing Baronelle Stutzman tell her story of prosecution and persecution because she chose to follow her faith in operating her florist business. You won't find a more loving person than Baronelle, a 72-year-old grandmother who has operated her florist business for decades. And yet she faces financial ruin thanks to the state of Washington and the ACLU going after her for choosing not to design and create floral arrangements for a same-sex wedding for a customer, one she had served for years and would still serve today. But she says participating in a same-sex ceremony is a violation of her Christian faith. She lost her appeal before the Washington State Supreme Court last week and now will appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. You can read more about her case and its implications for religious freedom at our website at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Staying in the Middle East now, and we're going to continue on the theme of the implications, again, coming out of the meeting with President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu, which, as we've said, was really a stark contrast between the relationship that existed between Barack Obama and Israel and Barack Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu. But that being said, the commitment of support by the United States to Israel is both a good thing, a good signal for those who love Israel and they understand what the Bible says about the importance of that part of the world, but it's not a good thing for those who hate Israel, the Islamic world generally, but in particular, the nation of Iran. And I want to talk with you about that now, Jimmy, if you can, in this regard. The big bully on the block in the Middle East, and you talked about it a little bit, has been Iran. They are increasingly defiant of the United States. Even today, headlines right now, they are as arrogant as can be. They're pushing back against the president. They are belligerent in every regard. What can you share with us that is happening with Iran, perhaps post that relationship with the president and Netanyahu. And what do you think about their threatened actions against Israel and the United States now? They've been mostly hot air up to this point, but how serious are they?
I do believe they're very, very serious, Sam, and you gave up a partial analysis of the whole situation when you talk about them continuing to be arrogant, defiant, stated that what they're going to do, and they're right on the part of the edge of the agenda for that to actually take place. Because, and that's evidenced in the fact that they just said within the last week, we're going to be able to hit Tel Aviv in 9 minutes. Now, he said that about 6 months to a year ago. But to bring it up, to reiterate it again, in light of what took place at the White House, in light of the fact that Iran was at the top of the agenda between the president and the prime minister in their discussions there, they come back immediately and say, look, we're not worried about what you're telling each other over there at the White House. We're going to come after Israel. We can hit it in 9 minutes, so be ready. Number two, they're continuing to arm Hezbollah. Hezbollah, if you just look at the arsenal of weapons that they have today, just today, it would be a size of the fifth largest military operation in the entire world. They are not a state, but they have enough armament to be considered number five on the enemies of all the world and those who have a large arsenal. And all of that is coming out of Iran. It's being produced there. All the rockets, all the missiles, everything they have, all their hands-on weapons that they're going to use, they never back up of the fact that they're going to be ready to go after and destroy the Jewish state of Israel. Since 1982, that's been their theme continually. Nasrallah, who is the head of Hezbollah there in southern Lebanon, controls the state of Lebanon. Lebanon is a somewhat of a surrogate state as far as Hezbollah is concerned, but they're the surrogate or a terrorist organization for Iran. They continue to arm themselves, and now Iran is actually calling for, see, that's the northern end of the state of Israel. That's at Israel's northern border. In the south, in the Gaza Strip, would be Hamas. And Iran, after this meeting, really intensifying their call for Hamas to go after the Jewish state of Israel, for, in fact, the entire Palestinian population to go into a third intifada. Now, that word intifada is an Arabic word meaning a public uprising. And it's kind of been calm as it relates to terrorist activities, but, in fact, Iran is doing everything they possibly can. They're trying to motivate them with money, with munitions, with training. Over thousands of the Hamas leaders and some of their henchmen are being trained in Tehran, Iran, to fight this thing. They're doing everything they can to fund and rearm Hamas. So you'll have it from the north, from the south. That's Iran's surrogate organizations. And they're, of course, at Israel's northern border on the Syrian side. They're in the Golan Heights.
Jimmy, you know, you always give me a lot of questions in your explanations, and I guess that's good. It makes me think a little bit. But, you know, before I ask the question that I have here, do you think we could expect anything from Iran in the immediate? I mean, even before any further discussions go on between Trump and Netanyahu, do you think that we might see Iran bring an attack upon Israel at any time? Is it imminent?
Well, let me just ask you this. Did we not see the fact that when the United Nations resolution was disobeyed and they started testing those missiles that can put on a nuclear warhead and deliver it to any place in Israel, do you not think they would do that? Do you not think the discussion between the president and the prime minister about a preemptive attack that's never gone away, that's still on the table? Yes, I believe that there is an imminent possibility for an Iranian attack, either from out of the Golan Heights coming out of Syria or a nuclear attack with a missile that they have been test firing and getting ready to put on top of it a nuclear warhead. And I believe they have availability to make that happen, if not this exact moment, within weeks, and they could break this deal that is such a rotten deal anyway, and they could attack Israel.
And so how does that tie into biblical prophecy as you see it?
Well, I believe that it is a part of the alignment of the nations that's going to take place. That would be Ezekiel chapter 38, Psalm chapter 83, and Daniel chapter 11. In chapter 38 and verse 5, it mentions Persia, and that's modern-day Iran. Persia is the biblical term until 1936, when it broke into three states. Persia did. At that point, it became Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iran. When you go over to chapter 11, verse 44 of the book of Daniel, it talks about murmurings out of the east. And when you look at the entire context of the passage, that would have to include Iran, the eschatology. And some people are mistakenly saying that what they see in the Iranian Shiite eschatology is that this Mahdi, he is not the Antichrist. The Antichrist does not come out of the Islamic world. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 38 says, and 39 says that Iran's going to be wiped off the face of the earth, not the state of Israel. God will intercede to protect the Jewish state. Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 18 through chapter 39 and verse 6. In fact, the entire Islamic world is going to be rendered totally inoperative at that point in time. And so we're not talking about the Antichrist as it's referred to as the Mahdi. That's the Islamic Messiah who's coming forth, and he's going to come out of a time of chaos. Did we not hear for 8 years what Ahmadinejad, who was the president of Iran, say? He said, I am the forerunner for the Mahdi, and if I can produce chaos on this earth, the Mahdi will come out of Iran. Ayatollah Ali Khomeini, who is now the supreme leader, agrees and says the exact same thing, and everybody that he is involved with makes that same statement. So that's the eschatology that we have to be looking at as it relates to Iran.
And Jimmy, I'd like you to continue on that a little bit, because as people, I mean, I'm sure even within the Trump administration, an example, put it in the sense of public policy, negotiations with countries, with a Russia as an example or a China as an example, they all are threats to freedom. But there's a certain aspect about which they may not really want to ultimately destroy themselves, and you know, they'll play the upper hand if they can get it. But Iran, with their sense theologically that they have to actually have chaos or blood running in the street, makes them a completely different player when you're trying to negotiate with them. Talk to us a little bit about why they believe that they have to be the precipitator of chaos and destruction in order to move things along, and how that fits biblically.
Well, that actually is their eschatology, Sam, for over 1,000 years. They've never wavered from their eschatology. The Sunnis have a different eschatology, but remember, the Shiites basically is made up of the Iranian state, which is an Iranian republic, a Islamic republic, and then you have about 60% of the Iraqi people are Shiites, so they would believe the exact same thing. You have some in Yemen who are of the Shiite persuasion as well. But they're standing alone. They have to be the bully on the block in order to be able to sustain life. They have to threaten everybody all the time. And I've got to tell you, we'd better wake up. United States, Israel is alert to what's going on. Look at this guy who's the new national security advisor, McMaster. General McMaster is a futurist. And when I heard that statement made about him, I said, God, boy, this guy knows what Scripture's talking about. I addressed a group of generals at the Pentagon a couple of years ago, and I made the statement to them. I said, fellas, I'm going to have a Bible study today, and here's the reason I'm going to study Bible prophecy, because if you're making decisions affecting tomorrow, you better know today what's going to happen tomorrow. McMaster is a futurist. I don't know if he got it from eschatology in the Bible, but that has been his plan, and he's a guy who is ready to speak truth to power. And you look at the General Mattis over there at the Defense Department. These guys understand Iran, and everybody supposedly now rising up against Iran. Iran, like a rattlesnake, when you corner him, has to get ready to strike. I believe that's where we're
Excellent, Jimmy. That's wonderful information. Not good information, but it's wonderful information to help us to understand what's going on. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move now in this next segment. We're going to go directly into Israel right now, and we're going to talk about some things that are happening there. We're going to talk about the temple. We're going to talk about, that's right, the Ark of the Covenant and some things coming out of that, which all, I believe, are exciting, exciting developments that help to help us focus on what's happening there for preparation for the Lord's return.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? I know you always said how important it is, but the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading by Linda Monk says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians for Restoring Education brought you this message. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
George Washington was born this day, February 22, 1732. In his inaugural address, he said, "It would be peculiarly improper to omit, in this first official act, my fervent supplications to that almighty being who rules over the universe." Washington continued, "No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States. Every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, not only have the Friends of Israel been encouraged by President Trump's comments toward Israel, And as we've just heard, the enemies of Israel, Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, and others, are becoming more hateful. At the same time, within Israel, God seems to be moving and preparing the hearts of his people. And Jimmy, we've talked about it with you on this program often, and you've shared a number of very, very, very significant things, from the descendants of David filing suit to reclaim the, reestablish the kingdom, to preparation for the temple. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had John. We talked about the value of the red heifer and one being identified down in Mexico. But that being the case, all these things are happening around Israel. They're threatened on all sides. But yet there seems to be a level of excitement within Israel, as demonstrated by a number of things. One of them is about the rebuilding of the temple. We've talked about it before, but can you give us any new news on what's happening with the rebuilding of the temple?
Well, the only new news that I would probably have, Sam, is the intensity by which these people who are desirous to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem are intensifying their efforts to make it happen. The Temple Institute, who is the leading organization preparing all the implements, training the priests, the 28,000 priests that need to operate the temple, getting all the construction materials in line, ready to go up onto the Temple Mount, having the blueprints for the temple to be put up and erected right there on the Temple Mount of the city, center of the city of Jerusalem, in the Negev Desert, along with these reports of red heifers and in Mexico and also in West Virginia, by the way, they're doing everything they can to genetically develop and produce a red heifer. So they're working intently at making all of these things happen. But now this week, just this week, they come out, and Chaim Richman, who's the international director of the Temple Institute and their spokesperson, he came out and said, we need to build the temple right now. In fact, they put together an unbelievable video on the situation. You can go to my website, prophecytoday.com, and watch it. But I want you to know, they called in that video, they want the temple to be built right now. They are not waiting any longer. They're saying, we've got everything prepared. Do not delay anymore. Their program now is they're trying to build a desire within the Jewish people to go and build that temple. If you have everything ready, the next step has to be building the desire for all the Jewish people to want that temple to be up. And when you're looking at the body politic of Israel, you're talking somewhere in the area about 75 to 80% of the entire body politic in Israel, of the Jewish people, have a God consciousness. I was listening to the BBC this morning when I was walking, and it was an interview with Hippie Levy, who is the opposition leader in the party against the Likud, which is headed up by Netanyahu. She's in the opposition. But when it came to a couple of issues, like let's move the embassy, the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, they said, aren't you concerned about that causing problems? She said, look, I'm an Israeli. Jerusalem is our capital. It's our eternal, undivided capital. And the locations of Israel are key to understand that, and that's where the temple is going to go up on the Temple Mount. So the Temple Institute is doing what they can to build that desire to see the temple on the Temple Mount, and in fact, they're doing that by continually taking these people who are interested in what is going on as far as the next activity of the Temple Institute for the temple. They're going up with visits. Even Yehuda Glick, who is now a member of the Knesset, who started an entire organization. He used to be the executive director of the Temple Institute. He moved away to start an organization to train. He's got books. He's got videos out to help people go up there. So they're doing everything they can. They see the urgency of the moment. They are not just looking at the Temple Mount, and that's the only thing in their focus. They understand the meeting in Washington, D.C. between the president and the prime minister. They understand what Iran is doing. They understand what's happening in Syria at their northern border. They understand the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. They study the Word of God. I get all of my prophetic prophecy messages from the Old Testament, which is their Bible. So they understand all of this, and they see the coming of the Messiah. If they can get this temple up, they believe the Messiah is going to come back. The people who are eager to build the temple, see this will be the way to have the Messiah come back. And they see the opposition that is on the rise in the secular world, in the Muslim world, in the world itself. And what we started our conversation with today, anti-Semitism. The only way they can really combat anti-Semitism is have a temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem and Messiah to come back. Mm. So that's driving these people to put that temple up.
Jimmy, I want to jump in here because one of the things we've really not talked about is the Ark of the Covenant. People have been making movies about that and talking about that for years. My question is, does the Ark of the Covenant still exist? And from your perspective or from your knowledge, what is the latest in the news on that in about 2 minutes?
Well, the Ark of the Covenant does exist. The Ark of the Covenant is in Jerusalem. The book of 2 Samuel chapter 6, King David brought the Ark of the Covenant where it had been Kiriat Yarim, which is on highway number 1 between Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. That's where it had been for 120 years. King David went out, brought it back in to Jerusalem, put it in the tabernacle until his son, King Solomon, built the temple, and they took it in the temple. 1 Kings chapter 8 said that when the ark was taken into the Holy of Holies, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord so much they couldn't even worship. And the temple is the location for that ark. Now, Josiah, a king of Judah, about 722 B.C., recognized what was going on. So what he did, 2 Chronicles 35:3, he had the Levites take the ark out of the Holy of Holies, put it underneath the Temple Mount. On my video, Ready to Rebuild Revisited, available at my website, prophecytoday.com, I talked with three men, two rabbis and a Jewish activist, who have gone to the location of the Ark of the Covenant. It's underneath the Dome of the Rock, and that's exactly where it is. There is some speculation that where it was in Kiriat Yearim, it may have been taken out there when the people of Babylon came in, but they couldn't have torn the temple down had the Ark of the Covenant been in the temple. It had to be underneath it. That's where it is. There's going to be an archaeological dig at Kiriat Yearim this summer. It's going to be the first such dig that's ever taken place out there. And then they're going to follow that. You know, you don't start here and not finish the story. They're going to go on into Jerusalem to see, and I believe ultimately go underneath the Dome of the Rock. That's where the ark is. That's where the three men went. I said, why didn't you bring it out? I said, we will when we have a place to put it.
All the more reason then, Jimmy, to have the temple, and it's exciting to see this movement and how God really is preparing the hearts of his people and putting all of the pieces together for the Lord's return. Jimmy, we have only a few minutes left, actually less than a minute left. Could you take just 30 seconds and close us in prayer? Pray for God's people and what's happening in Israel.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this meeting at the White House, the relationship between the president and the prime minister. We thank you for what's going on in Israel, the desire to put that temple up. We see all of these as indicators that are a part of a prophetic scenario that leads us up to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, we recognize the rapture thing. Help us be ready for that rapture by knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and looking up for him to return. In thy name we pray.
Amen, amen. You've been listening to Stand in the Gap today. Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and our special guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, host of Prophecy Today. And you can go there and find out a lot more information we cover today on prophecytoday.com. Also, pick up the archives on standinthegapradio.com for this program and others. Until we meet again tomorrow, 23 hours from now, stand in the gap for truth where you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township, this is AM.